Shri Sri Radha Krishna, Govinda Shyama Kundarada, Kadigiri Govardhan Gijai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Kunjai, Navarajai, Gangjumana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Gijai, Anagori Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Gijai, Go Premanandi. All glory to some of the bodies, 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 all glory. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Udayudam Srivatsa Alakshmam Agala Sobhi Kaustubham Pitambaram Sandra Ayoda Sauvagam Tam Adbhutam Balakam Ambojeshanam Tatvurbojam Shankha Gadadi Ayudam Shivatsa Lakshmam Gala Soli Kostubham Pitambaram Sandara Payoda Sauvagam
Thank you.
Tam that Adbhutam wonderful Balakam Kyle Ambujiction eyes resembling lotus Chatubujam with four hands Shankar Gada Adi bearing conch shell club disc and lotus Udayudam and different weapons Sri Vatsa Lakshmam decorated with Sri Vatsa and Galas Sobhi Kaustubam on his neck was the Kaustubha gem Pitambaram his garments were yellow Sandra Payoda Sobhagam very beautiful. And Vasudev then saw the newborn child who was very wonderful, who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes, who bore in his four hands the four weapons, Shankha Chakra, Gada, and Padma. On his chest were the mark of Shivas, on his neck the brilliant coast of a gem. Dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud, his scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet earrings sparkling uncommonly with the valuable gem Vaidurya, the child decorated with a brilliant belt, armlet, bangles, and other ornaments appeared very wonderful. Therefore, to support the word Adbhutam, meaning wonderful, the decoration and opulence of the newborn child are fully described, as confirming the Brahma Samhita. Bhagavatam Samhita Sundarangam, the view of the Lord's beautiful form resembles the blackest color of dense clouds. It is clear from the word Chatubhuj and the Krishna first appeared with four hands, Lord Vishnu. No ordinary child in human society has ever been born with four hands. When a child born with fully grown hair, when is a child born with fully grown hair? The descendant of the Lord, therefore, is completely distinct from the birth of an ordinary child. The Vaidurya gem, which sometimes appears bluish, sometimes yellow, sometimes red, is available in Vaikuntha Loka. The Lord's helmet earrings were decorated with this particular gem. So this describes the appearance of Krishna, and as we see from this description, Krishna appeared as Vishnu. From this we may conclude that the original form is Vishnu, and then the secondary form is Krishna, because Vishnu appeared first. And on the same grounds, we can say that Vishnu is the source of all the avatars, so therefore he is superior to them. So that can be used as an argument to show that Krishna is not supreme, but secondary. We know that already in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is called Swayam Bhagavan, and he is singled out as very distinct from all the other forms. And in other places of the Bhagavatam, including the 10th canto, we'll find that the attraction of Krishna is superior to that of Vishnu, so that even Lakshmi becomes attracted to the form of Krishna. So there's something very special about Krishna that's not available in the others. So who appears first is not a very good argument, because the Lord is eternal anyway, and he may make his appearance by this means or that way. So Krishna is not born from Vasudeva and Devaki, actually, since he is eternal. But as a matter of pastime, he appears from them. So we could also argue that Krishna is an ordinary person because he's born and he has a temporary body, and he's born from Vasudeva and Devaki. We should not take these arguments very, very seriously. Of course, Krishna can show a form of Vishnu when he wants. That does not make him any less. Sometimes he may temporarily show himself in a different form.
So here he can show four arms and be like Vishnu. But that does not mean that he is not Krishna. Similarly, there is a story that when he was trying to hide from the gopis, and the gopis surrounded one of the kunjas, and he couldn't get out. So then he was wondering what to do. So one gopi came into the kunja, and then Krishna showed a Vishnu form instead. So then the gopi saw this, and she was very surprised. She brought all the other gopis, and they all saw Vishnu. And they said, "Where is Krishna?" And then he's not here. So then these gopis left. But then Radha came, and when Radha came, then Krishna could not disguise his form, and he turned back into the two-armed Krishna form. So such a display of four arms is a temporary display from Krishna for certain pastimes, and we should not think that that's an original form of his. His form has the two-armed form of the cowherd boy, that's the eternal form. We also understand that Krishna was born simultaneously to Yasoda and Nanda. In that form, he did not show himself as a Vishnu form with Chakra and Chakra, etc. He was simply an ordinary child, very similar or exactly the same as the child of Vasudeva after he became a normal child. So he appeared from Yasoda and Nanda in a different way. So this indicates that the mood of Vasudeva and Devaki is somewhat different. And for that reason, Krishna appeared as a Vishnu form. So later on, in the 10th canto, it's explained that Vasudeva and Devaki actually prayed for the Lord as their child in the three births. So then the Lord appeared as Prishni Garba and Vamana, and then finally as Krishna. However, the consciousness of Vasudeva and Devaki was different from that of Yasoda and Nanda. And therefore, Krishna appeared in a different manner. So what is that difference? The difference is that Vasudeva and Devaki expect that Krishna shows himself as the Supreme Lord. They pray, "We want the Supreme Lord to be our son." So the Lord had appeared previously as Krishna Garba, who was a Vishnu form. And then as Vamana. And then Vamana showed the Vishrup form to everyone. So their awareness of Krishna was Krishna as a Vishnu form. And therefore, he appeared as a Vishnu form. And when they saw that form, then they understood our desire has been fulfilled. The Lord has appeared as our child. It also indicates that their love for Krishna was a little different from that of Yasoda and Nanda. And that is also revealed later in the Bhagavatam when the Vrajavasis go to Kurukshetra. Then they all meet Krishna and Balaram. But at that time, Krishna has brought many of the people from Dwarka, including the queens and Rohini and Vasudeva and Devaki. They all come there. And when Yasoda and Nanda meet Krishna and Balaram, they see them exactly as they saw them when they left Vrindavan as young children. And the affection for them is so strong that they become unconscious of everybody else, and they simply embrace Krishna and Balaram and put them on their laps. And Rohini and Devaki see this, and Devaki tries to remind Yasoda and Nanda. This is actually my child. I gave birth to Krishna, not you. But Nanda and Yasoda don't even hear that because of their intense attraction for Krishna. And then she realizes that the attraction of Nanda and Yasoda for Krishna and Balaram is much greater than her attraction, even though Krishna is supposed to be her child. And she finds that very strange. How can it be that Yasoda and Nanda have such attraction for Krishna, even though he's not their child, he's my child? Their love for Krishna is stronger. So that is true. Actually, the love of Vasudeva and Devaki is tinged with knowledge that Krishna is God. So the intensity of their love is a little less. And the love that Nanda and Yasoda have for Krishna is much more. And it is not tinged by recognizing Krishna as God. And therefore, it's unrestrained. So in this way, there is a superiority of the love of Yasoda and Nanda to that of Vasudeva and Devaki. So to remind Vasudeva and Devaki that he had kept his promise, he appeared as this form with four arms, a remarkable form. Then, because Devaki prayed to Krishna, you cannot show yourself in this form. People will make fun of me and it's dangerous because of Kamsa. So therefore, Krishna turned into a small child. And then Vasudeva took him across the river and exchanged the child for a female child. Here we find that Supreme Lord appears in the prison, which is not a very glorious birth to be born in prison. However, this does not affect the Supreme Lord. He is untouched by any of his surroundings. So when he appeared in this way, in spite of the fact of being born in such miserable circumstances, he is described here as being most astonishing in form and beauty. He is born with the Shankha and Chakragada and Padma. He is born with his yellow cloth, with a crown on his head, with jewels, and earrings, and belt, etc. So, very, very astonishing appearance. In spite of the fact that he's born in the darkness of the prison. So the Lord's appearance is not affected by his surroundings in the material world. Of course, this gives rise to criticism. People will say, well, why can't the Lord arrange for his a better appearance if he's Supreme Lord? However, the nature of Krishna is to perform pastimes as an ordinary person. He does not appear extraordinary. He hides his aspect as the Supreme Lord in a lot of cases. And therefore, this is one instance. His birth is a very humble birth, and he has to be smuggled out of the prison, and etc., and hidden in Raja for a long time. So this is an aspect of Krishna's pastime. He acts like a normal person in the material world, in spite of the fact that he can actually destroy Kamsa immediately by simply his willpower. So for pastimes, Krishna appears in this way. But he has to remind Vasudeva and Devaki that actually he is Supreme Lord, and they will be pleased with this. So therefore he shows his form like this. However, he's still Krishna, so therefore he can revert back to the baby Krishna form as well. So if Krishna appears like this, he makes a temporary manifestation with four arms, as he does periodically, we should not think that that is a different form. It's actually Krishna, but appears like that temporarily. So his consciousness is still the same. It's not anything else. So this is still Swayam Bhagavan, but he has slightly altered his form for a certain pastime. But we see that this is appreciated by devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki. They actually appreciate this aspect of the Supreme Lord. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, however, do not appreciate this form. And therefore, when the gopis saw the form of Vishnu, they were surprised and they offered their respects. But they said, we're looking for Krishna. So they left. They had no attraction for him. In this way, the inhabitants are not so attracted to the four-arm form as they are to the two-arm form of Krishna. So Krishna can display these forms, but his nature internally is still that of Krishna. And therefore, when Radha appeared, then he didn't think of himself as Vishnu. He thought of himself as Krishna. And therefore, his love for Radha began to manifest. And he could not hold or keep that form with four arms any longer because of his love that manifested. So even though he shows four-arm form, his consciousness is still that of Krishna and Vrindavan. These are only pastime forms of Krishna. So therefore, we should not think that simply because the four-arm form appears first, therefore it's superior to the form with two arms. Krishna does this with a certain purpose because of the expectations of Vasudeva and Devaki. So in this way, Krishna fulfills the desires of all people. In spite of the fact that there are so many devotees, Krishna fulfills the desires of everybody. And that is very difficult to do for most people because Krishna has infinite capacity and powers. He can change his form or do whatever. He can satisfy everybody. Here is an example where he shows the Vishnu form. And then, on the request of Devaki, then he changes into the child Krishna also. This is only a display of Krishna's Shakti. It doesn't mean that Vishnu produces Krishna. Rather, Krishna is the original form, and he manifests this four-arm form of Vishnu temporarily to satisfy Vasudeva Devaki. In this way, Krishna makes his appearance in the material world. As I mentioned, the appearance is not a temporary thing. Our acharyas have pointed out that the pastimes are eternal. The argument is an action or a pastime has a beginning and an end. Any action has a beginning and has an end to it in time. So how can it be eternal? And then after that action is finished, you do another action. So we see a whole series of actions which constitute pastimes. And one pastime after another takes place. Krishna has a birth pastime, then he has pastime of killing Putana, and the pastime of killing Trinavarta, and the pastime of playing with the calves in the yard, etc. One after the other. And the pastime is the beginning and end. So it's temporary. So how can it be eternal? But everything about Krishna is eternal. How can he have an eternal birth when it takes place and it's finished and it's gone? So the explanation is that the birth is continually taking place in one universe and the next 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 universe. Somewhere it's taking place like that, continuously. And similar with all the other pastimes. So that way, each act is eternal because it keeps on going on somewhere in some universe. So, in this way, the birth goes on continually. So the Janma-lila is not a temporary affair. It is a permanent thing that goes on eternally. The only problem with that is that when there's pralaya, there's no more universes, so it cannot go on anymore. So to explain that, Jiva Goswami says there is another function of Maya Devi. She creates another universe, illusory universe, after pralaya. And in that universe, Krishna goes along with the pastimes until another universe is created, or another series of universes is created. Then, again, everything goes on. So there is continuity forever. The pastimes of Krishna go on, his birth pastimes go on. It's spite of the fact there is no universe as such. There is a Maya universe there, and in that universe, everything goes on again. So this takes place because the extraordinary power of Krishna and his yoga maya potency and his other shaktis. Why he does this? Because everything must remain eternal. All the pastimes are eternal, so therefore this is what happens. So therefore the birth is not a temporary manifestation. It is a permanent affair. And similarly with all the other pastimes. Though Krishna is born, it is not like the birth of a normal person in this material world. It is an eternal event. When other persons are born, they have a material body. The Atma accepts the material body, and that body has a certain period of time, and then it dies, and the soul separates. So when Krishna takes his birth, it is not an Atma entering into a body at that point. Krishna, there's no difference between Atma's, Krishna's form and his soul. It's all one. So it's simply Krishna makes his appearance, but he makes his appearance as a small child. So even these forms are eternal. The form of Krishna as a small child is eternal. And when he grows a little more, that's eternal also. When he grows further, it's not that Krishna keeps changing his form. Each of these forms is eternal. So Krishna is Balya or Kaumara age, then he is Pauganda age, then he is Kaishor age. Each of these forms is eternal. It's not that Krishna turns from one to the other, but eternal. And if one is not visible in this universe, it is visible in some other universe. So each of these forms goes on in other universes. Baby Krishna who is born is also eternal. Small child born, it's an eternal form. So in this way, Krishna is in no way contaminated by material energy, in spite of the fact that for our eyes, it looks as if Krishna is born at a certain point. It's also explained previously that actually when Krishna was born, he was not born in the normal way. He appeared in the mind of Vasudeva, and then he appeared with his Devaki. So it is not a birth by normal conception. And he appeared only after Balaram had appeared in Devaki. That is actually symbolic of first the other children were born, which represent the five senses in the mind. And when they are purified, then Balaram takes his appearance in Devaki. Of course, Balaram represents the Samvit and Pulaha and Sandini Shaktis. So therefore, the place is very fit for the appearance of Krishna. Balaram, of course, also represents the Dhamma. The Dhamma is the Sandini Shakti. So Balaram creates the Dhamma, or the support for Krishna, by appearing within the body. And then Krishna makes his appearance. So that appearance is not a normal conception, a material conception at all. It is simply Krishna appearing, not being born, not forming a material body at all. So in this way, Krishna is eternal and simply makes his appearance. But each of these forms has its own particular bliss for particular devotees. So that is why Krishna displays different forms. Different forms have a capacity for different types of pastimes. So the Komara form of Krishna when he's a baby is ideal for Vatsalya pastimes with Nanda and Yashoda. And when Krishna goes to the Pauganda age, 5 years old, then that age is suitable for pastimes with his cowherd friends, the Sakya Rasa. And when he reaches Kaishore, then that particular form is suitable for pastimes with the gopis, Madhurya Rasa. So Krishna displays all these different forms. Some of the forms of God do not do this. Narsimhadeva did not show a baby Narsimha and then a child of Narsimha and a grown and he disappears as Narsimhadeva. And even Vamanadeva doesn't grow up, he's always one age. So many of these forms do not show different forms, they only show one form. But Krishna appears in a multitude of forms to satisfy a multitude of devotees. The other forms of the Lord do only have one type of devotee, so they don't have to appear in many forms. But Krishna has many types of devotees, and therefore he appears with all these different forms for all the different types of devotees. So he starts out as a small child, and then he gradually grows and grows and grows until he reaches the Kamar age. And then he doesn't grow after that. He stops at that age. This again is accomplished by the extraordinary shaktis of Krishna. Because he has all of these shaktis, he can do all of this. He can have these different forms, which are eternal, and can appear in universe after universe, and interact with the devotees. So of all the different forms of the Supreme Lord, Krishna is the ultimate form, so therefore he's called Swayam Bhagavan. So he has the capacity to manifest all sorts of qualities that the other forms do not manifest. So therefore the Vishnu form does not manifest a baby form or a childhood form at all. But this is available to Krishna. And consequently, we have the different rasas available. Vishnu only displays one rasa, that is Dasya rasa, as an adult form. So right there we see the limitation, so-called limitation on certain forms, that they only display a certain amount of qualities. So Krishna is the form who is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the form that displays all rasas in the sweetest possible way. So there are five primary rasas and seven secondary rasas. So these are all displayed most perfectly in Krishna. And in the other forms of God, these are displayed to some degree. So for this reason, we call Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. He is separated from the other forms of Bhagavan because of his complete manifestation of wonderful qualities. So, technically, of course, all the forms are one. You don't say there are many different gods. But the difference is that the other forms show only partial qualities. Doesn't mean they don't have the qualities, but they display only partial qualities. And why do they do that? Because they're different devotees, and they desire different types of relationships and different types of forms. And therefore, the Lord appears in those particular forms for satisfaction with the devotees. So it's not a limitation on the Lord, rather it is a display of the Lord's mercy to his devotees that he will appear in these different ways. And why the devotees desire in this way? Because there is a variety of jivas, and they all have a variety of desires and tastes in the spiritual world. So therefore, the Lord cooperates with them and displays all these different forms. So in spite of the fact of having different forms, it is all one. So what to speak of Krishna having different forms? That, of course, is also one. He can do this. It's not a problem. Explicitly, he does this. And he shows this to Narad Muni. Of course, not all people can see this, but when Krishna was in Dwarka, he displayed 15,108 forms separately, all at once, in the different palaces. And Narada Muni was astonished, and then he understood, oh, this is the power of Krishna. He can do this. He can expand himself effortlessly like this. At the same time, the people in Dwarka didn't understand this. That's also his great power. He hid it from them. So they didn't see him expand in all these different ways. But Narada Muni traveled at the speed of the mind from one palace to the other, and therefore you can see that in each palace Krishna was simultaneously present. Krishna can expand himself into these forms, 16,108 forms, with no problem. What to speak of expanding into other forms. And when he was with the in the Rasa Lila, he expanded himself to 3 billion forms without effort. And not only did that once, he did that every night. Anything is possible for the Supreme Lord. He displays a Vishnu form temporarily in the prison house, that we should not conclude that this is therefore Vishnu is the original form and Krishna is a secondary form. It is only something that Krishna does for his pastime. And he does this by his extraordinary powers. If he desires a new pastime. Well, all pastimes are always new. There's no old pastime. Nevertheless, there are standard pastimes in Krishna performs, like lifting Govardhan Hill and Rasalila, etc. But they're never old. They're always new. They're never the same. Now, of course, beyond that, Krishna also does not do everything exactly the same. So the always are details different. So that is why sometimes we see there are differences in the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, and everything. So they say this is because different kalpas, the pastimes are a little different, so they don't always occur exactly the same way. The general pattern is there, but there may be some small differences also. So in this way, everything is different. And of course, in the spiritual world, Krishna has his pastimes every day. There is a regular sequence of events, like getting up in the morning and going to the fields, and playing with the cowherd boys, and meeting the gopis in the afternoon, coming back in the evening, and having dinner, and then going to sleep, and then going out to the Rasalila. So there's a regular sequence in the day. But again, it's not that the same activities take place every day. There's always differences there. So it's not exactly the same activity. There are some differences each time. And the differences may be big differences or little differences, but nevertheless, each of these differences make the pastime completely different. Killing demons, he comes when other people cannot do it, and usually the killing of demons is because the devatas request that. And that's also, the devatas are also his devotees, so he pleases the devotees, those devotees, by doing so. But the other purpose, of course, is to please those devotees who are in the material world, who desire to see the Lord or participate in his pastimes. So those who are qualified get to participate with the Lord in his pastimes at that time. So this is actually a higher desire. But the Lord accomplishes them both simultaneously.
You mentioned that the Lord's pastimes of the child and the boy in different forms. they are eternal because they are keep on happening in different parts of the universe. The same that we also appear in many worlds and also in the universe, that Krishna appears in only one form in the spiritual world, and the other devotees perceive him in the different modes.
Oh, in the spiritual world, yeah, Krishna doesn't grow. In Raja or a Gokul in the spiritual world, it's not that Krishna has a Kaumara form and a Paganda form and a Kaishora. It's only Kaishora form there. So when I'm talking about these different forms, that is in the material world when Krishna is avatar. Then it's like this. In the spiritual world, it's only one form.
Generally, the other forms of avatar, we say they are not there in the spiritual world.
Also, they're also there.
Then these forms
become eternal
only with respect to material world.
Yeah.
And when the universe goes back, then these forms may not be available.
No, they're there. They're there because the universe is the Maya universe created in Pralaya, and the pastimes keep going on, so that's eternal. Another universe is created by Maya deity, an illusory universe, and in that universe the pastimes go on.
Oh, the universe doesn't exist all the time.
Yeah, even when it's destroyed. Maya deity has two functions, to create a real universe and to create a Maya universe.
And who will be left in Maya?
Krishna. Now, Krishna and his devotees, basically, for them. All the jivas are gone. But the universe goes on, like there's a Vrindavan there in that universe as it goes on. Yeah.
The Lord's pastimes are eternal. And he performs in different universes. Is it right to say the same entourage of devotees that come or different jivas take part in the pastimes, it's the same, your soul and the bhakti participate or the other. Well, there are nitya siddhas, so nitya siddhas always stay with the Supreme Lord, so Nanda and Yasoda are always there. It's not different Nanda and Yasoda, it's different jivas taking their place. And the principal gopis also are there. But there are also, in all the pastimes, there are people who have done sadhana and they enter into the pastimes. So some of the gopis in Krishna's pastimes when he appeared on earth are sadhakas who have attained that position. So the sages of Nami Saranya who desired to have conjugal relationship with the Lord when they saw Rama, they became gopis, so that's the sadhakas. And the Upanishads pray that we want to have a relationship like the gopis. So they also were sadhakas who became gopis in Krishna's pastimes. So some of the people are coming out from the material world and joining in the pastimes of the Lord from any particular universe, and others are eternal associates. They go with Krishna in all the different universes. Which means that devotees also can expand by the will of Krishna into many, many forms in different universes. What's that? Not in the spiritual world. Is that what you're saying? No, so then you wouldn't have none of the soul of the spiritual world? Is that what you're saying? No, they also exist there. Because in the spiritual world, the Kaishora form of Krishna is such that it can accommodate Balya form and Paganda form also. In other words, when Yasoda sees that form, she can still see Krishna as a small child. And therefore, when Krishna, she saw Krishna at Kurukshetra when he was actually Kaishora age, she just put him on her lap and the milk flowed from her breast and she treated him like a baby.
So the nature of that form is even the people in Vatsalya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, can still derive rasa from that form. But that the ideal is the baby form or the other form. Those are the ideal forms. But even in the Kishore form, they can identify with those other forms. Oh, but they understood that he was Vishnu because all the Devatas came and offered gifts to him at that time. Yeah? They understood he was Vishnu, in spite of the fact they didn't for Shankara and Chakra. But they'd understood he was Vishnu, so Varuna and Suryadev and all the whole description of all the Devatas that came and made offerings to him. And they understood this is Supreme Lord taking this form for our pastime. So of course it was a little different. It wasn't a Vishnu form as it was with Krishna Garba. But still they recognized him as Vishnu. And then later on, he did show his Vishnu form by becoming Vishnu Rupa and etc., expanding himself over the universe, etc.
In Krishna's
passing,
also the Devatas,
yeah. Yeah. Because the Lord said, I will appear to the Devatas, I will appear. So they understood the Lord is appearing like this. So they also understood the Lord is going to appear in this manner. So that was understood. But they obviously appreciate the Lord in the Vishnu form more than in the Krishna form. So therefore even Brahma, when he saw Krishna performing, having picnic, and he said, well, maybe we'll test Krishna, see if he's actually God. Because he doubted that this can be God. So their preference of the Devatas is also with the Vishnu form. They generally identify God with power in the Vishnu form. Well, the Dasya Rasa is also present in Vrindavan or in Gokul or in the spiritual world in Goloka. So it's a little different from that with Vishnu.
So you didn't know they go
to Vishnu? Huh? No, it's different. There's Dasya Rasa, all the rasas are present in Krishna as well. So if you worship Krishna in Dasya Rasa, it's a little different from worshipping the others. Because it's also Madhurya. It's a little different. You're talking about devotees in the material world? Or are you talking about nityasiddhas?
Huh?
Well, there's no contradiction in one sense in the spiritual world. The apparent difference in opinion is only there for pastime's sake. So if they express anger or whatever, it's spiritual, it's not material at all. It's all based upon the highest relationships with the Supreme Lord. So that's only apparent contradictions. In the material world, people may have impurity, so therefore there may be differences of opinion or whatever. But that's not caused by spiritual rasa. That's caused by the impurities of the particular person at that point.
Janmashtami festival is celebrated in different dates.
What do you mean different dates in different years?
Different days.
It depends on your rules how you celebrate tithis, and some go dhatvaya, or tithis go by nakshatra instead. So it depends on your particular system you follow to determine the day, that's one thing. So if you determine it not on tithi, by solar day, it's fixed every year, that Jamasa will be on August the 15th every year, then that's your rule for that sampradaya, then they celebrate it like that. If you say by tithi, then it'll go by the moon, Astami tithi. If you say it's going to be by Rohini nakshatra, then it'll be different. Sometimes they don't coincide exactly. The other point, of course, is that the difference in calculation of the tithis also. Because some people use the scientific method, and some people use an old panchika, which may not be accurate. So the beginning of the tithi may be different. It may start at a different time, so therefore it may be a difference there also. That's why we see sometimes the difference between the Gaudiya panchika and ours, and maybe one day difference on a codicil or whatever, because they're using a traditional panchika, and we're using a computerized calculated method for the tithis, which are difficult to calculate because they're rather irregular, but they're scientific. They're scientifically defined. So, you know, there's a method of doing that. But if you have outdated data and you're using wrong constants in your formulas, then you'll end up with inaccurate times when the tithis are starting. So therefore, you have wrong dates. So that's another reason. And then another reason, of course, is that different sampradayas may have different rules, even if the calculations are correct, may have different rules for Jamastami or other days also. So there's a whole complicated set of rules there. It may have a rule that the tithi has to start an hour and 36 minutes before the sunrise, or you may not have that rule. So we have that rule for Ekadasi. It has to start 1 hour and 36 minutes before sunrise. If it happens 1 minute later, then that's not a Ekadasi day, even the fact that it's before sunrise. Other people may say only sunrise, so therefore things may be different like that. So there's different rules also, even if your calculations are correct.
Thank you.